Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Coosada Baptist Church. We want to be a lighthouse to guide you on your journey through life. Listen as our pastor, Dr. Jim Graham, shares a message from God's Word and offers sound biblical direction for your daily life.
We have been in the book of Ephesians together for the last couple of weeks, and our theme is being made new, and we're just learning from Paul just foundational elements to who we are and what our life is in Christ. Week one, we talk about blessings and what true blessings are, what it means to be blessed. Last week, we talked about grace and what grace is and the power that comes with grace. And today, we're going to talk about the word access. The word access and having access to God. A few years ago, I was going on a mission trip and we were carrying all this equipment with us, and so I had to take extra bags, and they were heavy. And I started realizing as the day was approaching, I was like, my bags are not going to weigh under 50 pounds. And there's a penalty when your bag is over 50 pounds. It's $100 a bag. And then if it's over 70 pounds, it's $200 a bag. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I was having to take an extra bag, $150 for an extra bag. And I was like, my goodness, you know. So I started adding up all that I was going to have to pay and penalties and fees. But when I was looking at the thing, and I noticed it said first class passengers get an extra bag. And first class passengers, their limit is not 50 pounds, it is 70 pounds. I said, well, I wonder how much more a first-class ticket is. I'm paying all this extra fees and stuff. And the different, it was still a little bit more, but I was like, but it wasn't much. And I was like, do I want to pay a few dollars more than these penalties and fees that I'm already paying and fly first class? Yes, I do. I've never flown first class in my life. I don't know what all that's about. Well, I found out. Let me tell you about it. The first thing that happened was I get to the airport. We're riding all together. There's a group of us going. We're riding to the airport, and this guy looks at me, and he goes, hey, listen, I noticed when I was looking that my seat is on the aisle, and I really want to be by the window. Do you mind swapping with me? And I said, well, that's not going to be happening. I'm not back there with you peons. I'm up here in the front. I already felt bad. I was like, I already felt bad. I literally made the swap the night before we left. I've leveled up the night before. I'm on the computer. And I'm weighing my bags. And there was an opening, and I took it. So I hadn't even told any of them. I get on the van with them, and I'm like, I'm not, you can't swap with me. He's like, why not? I'm like, you know. So then we get to the airport, and, you know, when you get to the airport, you got to wait in this line to check your bags. And you wait until an opening, and then you check your bags. Not if you're first class. No, first class, there's another person standing over there. They're waiting on you. They're waiting on you. He says, oh, sir, you don't have to wait in this line. You just go right over there. And I looked at the rest of the group, and I said, I'll see y'all at the plane. You know, I'm going to go. And so I went over there, and they just checked my bags. And as they're checking my bags, they said, sir, while you're waiting, we have this special lounge that you can go wait in. Now, I know you've seen those little doors with like a guard standing there or whatever, you know, but I've waited at airports before. You ever waited in that room, you know, and everybody's sitting there and there's somebody asleep on the floor, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And like, no. This is a special room. I wasn't even sure. I felt awkward going in there. And I walked in, and I said, I think I'm in the right place. They said, let me see your ticket, sir. And they said, oh, yes, Mr. Graham, you are in the right place. There's food on the table over there if you want anything. There's drinks over here, and then you can just sit over here. And I'm going to tell you where we were waiting. Like, I had a stool to rest my feet on. There was a lamp, you know, you plug in and charge your phone. Like, it was special. I had access to the first class lounge. Some of you are not. So there's a few people in here. There's about three or four people in here. They're looking at me going, I know. God bless you. I'm thankful for you. Like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, it was nice, you know. And then we get off. Like, now it's time to load the plane. And I get up, and we're going up there. And they said, like, Come on, you need to come on and get seated first, because we need everybody else to walk past you so that they can so they can see how comfortable you are as they walk past. So everybody on the mission trip walks past me as I'm sitting there. By the way, when I got on there, a flight attendant came to me and says, "Can I get you? You want a Coke or something?" Like, you know, I'm sitting there sipping on my Coke, and they're walking by, going to the back, and the, you know, whatever. And, you know, and we had our own restroom up there. They brought me this hot towel, like this hot, you know, washcloth, wet. So, like, "Here, you want to wipe your hands? We're about to feed you." And I'm like, "Oh, thank you." They said, "Mr. Graham, do you want the pasta, or do you want the grilled chicken and strawberry salad?" I said, "I think I'll take that salad, you know. I'm kind of full. I just had the buffet in the lounge, you know." And, you know, so I ate the salad, you know, and everything was great. And when we get off the plane, we all get off the plane, and these other folks are saying, "We're hungry." And I was like, "Oh, they're hungry." I said, "They not feed y'all?" They said, "We got those little packets of cookies, you know." I'm like, "Oh, I'm not saying anything the rest of this time." First class access. You ever have access to something? Well, your test question: what's better than having a pool? Having unfettered access to somebody else's pool. That's what's better. Why? Because the person who owns the pool has to what? Clean it. That's right. So there's nothing better than somebody says, "Anytime you want, you come over and swim in my pool." Access. Access. My kids, they're all grown. They still all have a key to my house. Access. They could just come in my house. And they grew up there. So they come in, they just go to the fridge, they open it up, they get whatever they want. You know, if you have a guest come over to your house, you serve them. But when somebody's family, you just look at them and go, "Cups are up there, forks are there, get what you want. Enjoy yourself," right? Access. I want to talk to you about access. We all have this experience today. You're trying to call somebody, a business, right? And nowadays, a person doesn't answer, right? No, nobody has a person that answers, you know? And so they call, and like, you get a computer, right? And sometimes it's a little tricky. You're not sure. Is that AI, you know, is it a computer, is it a person, whatever? But like, when you figure, you're trying to get a person, you're just going like, "I'd want to talk to a human being." Y'all ever do that? Anybody in there? You're going 0000, "I just want a person." You got to go through all these things. I want to talk to you about access. Access. When my daughter was off at college, single, off at college, 4 hours away, and then even the first 2 years after college, she's living over there, you know, whatever. If she called me, it was automatic. I know how you guys are. Your phone rings, first thing you do, you're smart. If you're not insane, first thing you do is you look at who's calling, don't you? You look at who's calling, and there's a lot of times, have you ever uttered this phrase? "I ain't got time for that right now. Yeah, I'm not dealing with that person right now. Like, I don't want to." Nope. But when my daughter was in college, like, if my daughter called me, I even had a different ringtone. I would even know when the phone rang. I was like, "Oh, that's my daughter." And it wouldn't matter what I was doing. If I was looking at you, I'd go like, "Excuse me just a moment. I got to take this." You know, like it's some important part. It is. It's access. Let's talk about access. We have access to God. I think you need to understand this. I want you to realize what your situation is. You have access to God. Right now, if you decided, "I'm not going to listen to Jim right now, I want to have a conversation with God," and you just decided, "I want to talk to God," and you went, hey, "God, do you understand? There's no button process. You're not put on hold. You're not waiting in line. You know, take a number. I'll get to you in a moment. No. Do you realize the access you have to God? That you can right now just say, hey, God, can we have a conversation? And God Almighty is waiting to talk to you. It's crazy. But that's truth. Now, we need to start, though. We got to. How did that happen? Let's start by remembering where we were. Where did we come from? Who you were. What situation were we in before? Now, Paul's going to start addressing as he talks about this. He starts talking about Gentiles and Jews. I want you to understand something about this. So he's talking about groups of people that had some serious history between them, and there was division between them. Historically, politically, socially, real division. He calls it a wall between them. But now, these people are coming to Christ, and these people are coming to Christ, and he's talking about how now they're being united. So just know that as the background. Verse 11, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. He says, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, listen to this description, you were living apart from Christ, you were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. It's quite a description, but it's a great description of who you were without Christ. Apart from Christ. That's the first description he gives. Separate from Christ. You weren't with Christ. Now you may have known about Christ. I grew up knowing about Christ. I was one of those kids that grew up in church. My parents were Christians. They took me to church. Little bitty. Grew up in church. I knew all about Jesus long before I decided that I wanted to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And maybe you're like that. Like a lot of people, you live in the Bible Belt, maybe you went to church for years, who knows, but you know all about Jesus. That's not the same as having a personal relationship with Jesus. So he says, like, okay, you knew about him, but you were separated from Jesus. He's over there, okay? You know about him, but you were separate from Christ. You don't have a Savior. You don't have a Savior. You know he saves, but you don't have a Savior. And then he says, excluded from citizenship. Like, you didn't belong to God's people. You're over there. You didn't belong in the family, you know. I can describe that to you, all right? So I'm married into a family, right? And I just want to tell you, when, like, you start dating somebody and then you, like, you first get married, like, you're not family. You're like that extra person over there. You're kind of odd. Like, things don't line up. They do things differently. They're odd to you, too, you know. They do weird things, you know. My in-laws, you go in for breakfast and they have biscuits and half of them are right side up and half of them are upside down. I'm like, what's that? What are y'all doing? It's crazy. Like, what are you doing? Well, the upside down biscuits have butter in them and the right side up don't have butter in them. Duh. Like, I didn't know that's what you did. I mean, because they're weird, because they put the toilet paper on the roll backwards. Like, what kind of people are these people, you know? And they're looking at you backwards. They're like, with this guy, like, what is he doing? Like, you know? We're all gathering for dinner. It's Sunday lunch. And I was like, I really need a tray in here because I need to be watching this NFL football game. And they're like, we don't do that. And I'm looking like, what's wrong with you people? And they go, he's weird, right? Now, I just want to warn you. You might think, like, you get married. You're in. No, you're not. You're not. Takes a little time, you know. I felt like I got in about 10 years. Took about 10 years, you know. Before Jimmy Mercer finally looked at me and went like, okay, all right, he's okay, he's in. But eventually you get to that point. And then you're family. You're part of us. You're just with us. You belong to us. You're family. You ever had that experience? You're family, right? He says, look, I just want you to know, before Christ, you weren't in the family of Christ. You're not part of the family. You don't belong to the church. You can go to church. A lot of people go to church. And they attend and they're whatever, but you're not like in the family. Why? Because you're not connected with Christ. He says, remember, that's how you were. He said, foreigners to the covenant of promise. You're not part of the promise. You're not in the will. You don't have a promise of heaven inheriting what Christ wants to give to you. You're not in the will. Listen, over the years, especially when our kids were at home, from time to time, we had an extra person, okay, sleeping on the couch in the spare bedroom. Just happens when you have teenagers. Mom, dad, so-and-so's in a bind, something's happening. Can they stay with us for a while? So this one lived with us for about 3 months and this one for 6 weeks. And we had that over the years, you know, different people just kind of in the house, you know, and they were fine, you know, but you don't act the same when somebody else is in the house. You got to put a shirt on, you got to whatever, but they're there and that's okay. And you know, whatever, but I will tell you, you're not in the will. You're sleeping on my couch, but you're not in the will. You know, you're not in the family. That's different. And that's what he's saying. Like, I just want you to know, you can participate in everything and all that, but you don't have a relationship with Christ. You don't know the promises of Christ, the promise of heaven, the promise of inheritance. You don't have it. You're not in the will. And then he gives that last line, without hope, without God in this world. It's like the picture is a boat, you know, out at like, You're not tied to the dock. You're not anchored. You're just drifting. You don't have something secure that you're tied to in this spiritual journey. You're just wandering around. That's who you were without Christ. No hope, no God, no Christ, no Savior, no belonging to his family, no promise. That's who you were. We got to start there. We got to know where we are. Where we started from. And everybody in this room, that's where you started from. Now, you need to know what Christ has done about that. So he starts describing that Jew and Gentile thing, right? This deep divide, this wall between them. And you'll hear the language. He said, that's who you were. He says, you didn't know Christ. He says, but now, verse 13, but now. Remember last week, we said the two most powerful words in Scripture are, but God. Like, here's the situation. But God does this. This is very similar. This is how the situation was. But now, you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God. But now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. So he talks about peace, and then in verse 18 he says, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. That's the last verse. We both have access. We all have access. Now, I love the phrase where he says, Jesus is our peace. It's a very interesting phrase. He doesn't say Jesus gives you peace. He doesn't say, here's some peace. You need some peace? Let me give you some peace. I love peace. Right? I mean, peace is awesome. We're in the summertime, so it's kind of vacation time, you know. And sometimes, like, the best part of vacation. Now, sometimes you go on a vacation to go see stuff or do stuff, right? Like, I'm going to go see this historical thing, I want to go, whatever. But most of the time, the best vacations are about peace. You just want to sit on the beach. You just want to sit by a stream and look at the mountains, whatever it is. Like, just peace. I just want to have peace. And maybe you did that. Like, how was your vacation? Oh, that's great. You know, like, no work, no dishes to wash, just sat back, chilled. It was peace. I do want to tell you something. I want you to know the beach can't give you peace. Peace has a whole lot to do not with where you are, it's who you're with. My friend, I can send you to the beach with some people, and you would come back, and I would say, how was that vacation? And you would say, no peace. right? A lot of stuff. Woo, glad to be home, right? Does peace not have a lot more to do with I'm with my person? I'm with my person. So I can go there or there or there or that, but if I'm with my person, how was it? Oh, it's great. Peaceful. We had the best time. Why? Because we had the best time. Here's what Jesus said. Here's what Paul is describing to us about our relationship with Christ. He doesn't give you peace. He is your peace. He's with you. You're going through this life. You can be at the beach, but you can be at work, right? You can be off doing something fun, or you can be in the middle of something rough. But I want you to know you can have peace. Why? Because he's your peace. And now I have him with me. He died on the cross for my sins, yes, but he died on the cross so that he could be with me and I could then have peace. Pretty awesome. But not just peace. He says, listen, I'm tearing down walls. There was a wall that divides you and other people, but there's a wall between you and God. The wall of sin just separates you from God. You don't have God. You don't have access to God. You can't get to God. But I'm Jesus Christ. I died for your sins. I'm tearing down walls. Now you have access. You want access? Just quit listening to me right now and say, God, can we talk? Can I talk to you for a second? And he goes, been waiting to talk to you. No phone system, no dial 2 for this, dial 3 for this, do whatever. Is that AI or is that a real person? Are you? How many of you have in the last month on the phone said, are you a real person? You don't know, right? Immediate access to God. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. It's not secondhand. It's not limited. Let me tell you something. You're walking through this life, you're first class. First class. Immediate access. You're not waiting in a line. You go straight to God because you're with Christ. You ever done one of those things like sometimes I've been to like a company or a factory or whatever, but I'm there and I'm meeting somebody and they are the ones that got the little tag on or whatever. And they just say, come with me. And they walk through the doors that are closed with the signs on them. Or there's a keypad or whatever. And they go, dee, dee, you know, and say, come with me. Just stay with me as long as you're with them. You got access. You can go anywhere in the building. Because they have access, which means you have access. Do you know who has access to the throne room of God? Who sits at his right hand? Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And he just looks at you and goes, I forgave your sins. I'm with you. I'm here to give you peace. Just come with me. Come with me. And you have access. So I want you to reframe how you see yourself. That's what I want you to do this morning. Reframe how you see yourself. Verse 19. So now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens. Along with all of God's holy people, you are members of God's family. Together, we are his house. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. You're citizens. You got the passport. God's kingdom. So years and years ago, it's probably 30 years ago, I don't remember how long, something like that, 25 years ago, Pearline and I got to go to the Holy Land. So we're at the Holy Land. We're in Jerusalem. And they were like, we're going to go to Bethlehem. We're going to go to Bethlehem. Well, Bethlehem's in Palestine. And they're like, well, you can't go. We won't take you. And then we found a taxi driver that would take us. I'll take you. We're like, we didn't know what we were doing. We get in the taxi. He takes us back roads, back way, whatever. We get to Palestine. Now we're coming back into Israel. All right, you want to talk about walls on borders? They got a wall. It's a wall. It's some kind of wall, right? We get there, they say, y'all got to get out of the car because the car is going through the x-ray. They have an x-ray the size for cars to go through. You know, we don't want car bombs and stuff. It was one of the most tense places I've ever been. The car's going through x-ray. They're herding us into this little building. We go into this little building. We're waiting in this line. People are behind bulletproof glass and all this kind of stuff. And I look up, and lined up across all the way around are soldiers with machine guns. And they're just looking down at us. And I made eye contact with them and one of them. And he's looking at me and going like, yeah, I'm looking at you. And I'm thinking like, oh my gosh. And it was tense. And we were nervous. And they said, passport. And we pulled out our passport. Now I understand there are probably many places in the world today that if you pulled out a U.S. passport, they might not be real happy about it. But I want to tell you, at that time, Israel, they were pretty nice. We pulled out a U.S. passport, and everything in the room changed. They were like, oh, okay, they're from the U.S. Come on through. We don't mind you guys. The tension eased. Everything was gone. I was like, whoo, I'm glad I got this passport today. You know what passport you've got? You're citizens of the kingdom of God. You know, you ever go into another country, they're hurting you. You're from our country, you get in this line. You're from some other country, you got to get in this line. We got to see your passport. We got to talk to you. We got to know why you're here. What are you doing? Like, that's the way every country is, right? You're trying to go talk to God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Creator of the world. Authority over everything. And they're like, can I see your passport? And you pull your passport out. And it says, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. I'm like, oh, come on in. Jesus Christ himself gives you access. He's forgiven you of your sin. You're not perfect. We know that, right? But you have Jesus Christ in your heart. You have peace in your heart. So I just want to, he says, your family now. Come on in. Your family. Maybe today you feel like you're on the outside. You're struggling with life. Like you don't belong. Maybe God feels distant to you. I want you to know, he's drawing you near. He doesn't want you to be distant. So come on in. Come right in. Sit at my table. You have access. Not because you earned it, but because Jesus paid for it. The door is open. Come on in. You're good. Good to go. And I want you to know that access today that you have with God. Let me pray for you. Dear Lord, thank you for the grace that brings us near. And Lord, when we were far from you, lost and without hope, you made a way. Thank you for tearing down the walls. Not just walls that separate me from other people, not just walls that separate me from you, but the walls in my own heart. Thank you for giving me full access to your presence. So help us live like people who belong. I'm where I'm supposed to be. Not in pride, but with gratefulness. We never forget where we were, who we were. But we also never doubt where we are. Where we stand now in Christ as members of your family. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who still feels kind of on the outside, draw them close to you today. Remind them that the cross was for them. Let this be the day that they just come home. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the access we now have to your love, your peace, and your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. It is our prayer that it's been helpful in this part of your life journey. We invite you to join us at Cusada Sunday mornings for worship. Visit our website at cusadabaptist.org for directions and more information about our church.